Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Unlock a new era in podcasting with Unfiltered Studios. Ready to break free from the ordinary? Dive into a world where authenticity meets innovation. Our network isn't just about podcasts. It's a revolution. From nostalgia to movies, sports to self-improvement, find your favorite podcast in an array of diverse shows. Only at Unfiltered Studios. Join the movement. Subscribe to Unfiltered Studios today and join the podcasting revolution. Unfiltered Studios, where every voice finds its place. Visit unfpod.com today to find your favorite show.
Unfiltered Studios will help you press record.
And hello, movie lovers, and welcome to the show. So today we are reviewing this documentary called Chasing Amy. It's based off of the Kevin Smith movie, Chasing Amy, starring Ben Affleck. I ended up enjoying the documentary a lot. So did Rossi. So let's go on ahead. Let's talk about this Chasing Amy story. Let's talk about it and let's do it.
What's up, John?
Hey, nothing much. How you doing?
What's up, Rossi? Everyone?
What's up? How you doing?
We always have laughs before we come on live start, and we're like giggling. It's because we're talking mad stuff behind it in the backstage.
Exactly. And that is no longer that. Here's the thing. That's going to be in the archives. Never seen. Never. You guys are not going to know anything about that.
Never.
Forget about
it. Forget.
So,
yes.
So here's the thing. I love Kevin Smith movies. I love Chasing Amy. When this was sent in to me, I'm like, I already knew what it was right off the bat. I'm like, this is about the documentary, about the stuff behind the scenes of Chasing Amy, someone that probably has some inspiration with the movie itself, right? So I thought it was very inspiring at the very beginning of this, where you have Save, and, you know, and basically Save is just talking about the fact that Save was on a TED Talk, talking about how passionate Save was towards the movie Chasing Amy.
Right.
And I love the passion for that because it's about self-identification, about finding your own self and stuff like that. And someone winded up finding their own selves, watching this story unfold about a straight man trying to go out with someone that's a lesbian. And that's something that is like separate borders whenever you look at a straight man and a lesbian. If you look at it like that, from that perspective, like, hey, I can't even go out with this person because we're not even because I'm a male, she's a female, she doesn't like men, so therefore there's no reason for me to even try to be with her. But there's that other line of crossing where Ben is like, you know what, I think I can make her love me, even though I'm straight. But what did you think of it?
Well, first I want to tell you guys, if you haven't seen Chasing Amy, it came out in 97. It was a really good film. I watched it. And so just a little bit about it. So you have Holden and Banky, our comic book artists. Everything's going good for them until they meet Alyssa, who also is a comic book artist. Holden falls for her, but his hopes are crushed when he finds out she's a lesbian. So that's the basis of the movie. And so, as John said, you have Ben Affleck throughout the movie. You know, like a lot of men think that you can change women that are gay, you know, maybe she needs this and she'll be straight and not that easy. So anyway, the film's really good and Kevin Smith did a good job. As far as the documentary, I thought the documentary, the basis of the documentary was really good. And I love the fact that Save is, she opens up by telling her story in a stand-up or a TED Talk, whatever it was, about the fact that when she was in middle school, she was kind of like the odd one out. She didn't know she was gay, but other people would call her names and, you know, the D word and all that. And she hadn't outed herself. She didn't even know. I mean, she's a middle school student. She's just trying to figure herself out. anyway, she talks about finding this movie called Chasing Amy and how it opened up her whole world and that she wasn't alone, you know, and kind of figuring herself out. And she even speaks about the fact that in the movie, there's many representations of people like her. So it absolutely helped her out. And so she makes this documentary to kind of, you know, give Kevin Smith a big thank you because it impacted her life a lot. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure she's not the only one, you know, at that time that found this movie and was like, oh my gosh, you know, there's people out there like me and they're living so free and so comfortable, you know, and when you're in middle school or high school, you're trying to figure that out. So to see a movie like that for someone like Save, it's just like, it's everything. Absolutely.
For sure. Because think of it like this, when Save found Chasing Amy, basically she was just going after the Ben Affleck movies and binging Ben Affleck films because of Daredevil.
Right.
And then all of a sudden it just clicked with Chasing Amy of like, oh, these characters get to live their best lives in this universe, even though my life is shitty because of the things that I'm going through. At least I have this movie that saved my life. So therefore, there's a little bit of light in that darkness that I can actually understand and know who I am and being comfortable in my own skin is basically what Chasing Amy was for Save.
Absolutely. And I think that for a lot of us at that age or in high school, we all go through that, you know, trying to find ourselves sexually and whatnot. But for I think people that are in the LGBTQ community, I think for them to find a movie like that is kind of hard back then. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, if there were a lot of movies that were made, you didn't know about it. So, you know, for, you know, straight female and males, you know, there's movies everywhere, you know, there's a love story everywhere with the male and female, but for someone that is gay or lesbian or even bisexual, you know, you didn't see a lot of representations about that back in 97. And if there were, like I said, you didn't know. So finding Chasing Amy for someone like that was just like, you know, you know what I mean?
Right, exactly. I get what you're saying because I didn't think of it like this until Kevin managed to say this because he wrote that basically for his brother. And here's the thing, my brother is gay, but here's the thing. I didn't think about that line of like what Kevin was thinking was, wait, there's nothing there for you to actually cheer on a romance kind of level. Right. Anything like that. It's all straight men, straight women.
Right.
And that's it. So I didn't think of it on that level in the 90s or anything like that. I'm like, okay, this is the norm. This is what you get. So that's my line of thinking of whenever I came across. And I'm like, okay, that's just kind of mind blowing at that with that, the way Kevin did that. But I also like this. Okay. I also like how Shayna Lorre, the casting director for Chasing Amy, said that the film made $12 million at the box office in 97. And like you said, there wasn't anyone writing a movie like Kevin's in the late 90s. There weren't hardly any mainstream LGBT movies. And then Chasing Amy had a way to look at identity, politics, and intersexuality. It was a controversial for a straight man to tell a lesbian story as well.
But yeah, I thought that I think when I saw it too, it was like the first time that I'd seen a movie with a bisexual character and just a movie like that. But when I watched the movie, the movie was good. I love the love story. I love the back and forth. I loved Joey Lauren, who plays Alyssa. I just love the romance of it. And just this guy who's just trying to change her and just falls in love with her, like with her, you know, who she is. And the disappointment of maybe not being able to be with her because she's lesbian. You know, so I thought the movie was really good. I enjoyed it.
I did too. And I also like the dialogue within Chasing Amy itself. It feels normal. It doesn't feel forced. It feels like normal everyday conversation.
Right.
Which is the movies that I love the most is the ones that don't feel like they're forced. And that's what I love about Chasing Amy. But Joey being this character and being a straight woman as well.
Yeah.
In this, I really loved her performance, and we'll get into some of the negativities towards the end of this, though, too, of the things that she had to go through and stuff. But I like how it focuses on the positives, but also on the negatives as well, because not everything is all sunshine and rainbows and picket fences. There's some negativities within the background of Chasing Amy.
And I also love like Ben's best friend in the film. Is it Banky?
Yeah,
Banky. Who, you know, Kevin was talking about, you know, everyone that was in this film is someone like he knew someone like that person. So Banky being that guy at that time that would just, you know, use the provocative, you know, slang words for a lesbian or gay back then. But being he's that jockey guy that, you know, in high school that, you know, oh, I can change her, you know, oh, she hasn't had me or, you know, I love he plays that character so well because, I mean, I think a lot of us know guys like that, you know, who feel that way, you know, and think, you know, the woman just hasn't found that right man to make her happy. So that's why. So he plays that character. And I love, like you said, how everyone is represented in this film.
Same.
That's negative, positive. It's, you know, it's
right.
It's people that you've met in life.
Right. I feel like you need a character like Banky. Yes. Say, hey, look, dude, this is wrong on the way you
think. Right. Right.
And don't get me wrong, I'm a shit person too, because I'm thinking that I can change this other person's mind.
Right.
As well. But you're even more of a shittier person because you're thinking on this kind of level. And he's just an idiot who doesn't think before he speaks.
Right.
And stuff like that. So you actually do have people in there that's just stupid the way that they think and act. Without even.
And you have to level it out. I mean, come on, it's not all roses. I mean, there are people that. Guys that think like that, you know, and so I love that person's in there. But also we talked about the black gentleman in the film.
Hooper.
Yeah, please.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. And him being represented as a black gay male in this film that you probably didn't see a lot of back in 97. So like you said, everyone's represented. And also everyone's just regular. Regular, just a different culture, but just regular, right?
Right, exactly. And that's something I wanted to touch on too. Like, I watched this movie on Netflix called Outbreak, and there was this nerdy, a person of color. He was gay, he's a gay character, but I like how there's a quote in the movie in the show. It's like, it's okay for you to be this kind of way, but it's not okay for me to be this kind of way, because it's one thing to be nerdy and black, but it's another thing to be nerdy, black, and gay.
Right.
So the Hunter X character to me is like kind of like on that same kind of scale of like just looking at through that lens of like, you know, for someone of color to be gay, it's actually something that's different that we haven't seen culturally in the 90s or anything either.
Yeah. Oh, so yeah. In the 90s,
I feel like, and correct me if I'm wrong, I want to know what you think about this. But do you feel like that because of the fact that he's a person of color, that it actually puts a bigger target on his back because of that?
I think so. I think in the 90s and maybe in the black community, you know, it was kind of a, you know, black community at that time, masculine, you know, the men are masculine men, the black men are masculine. So, when you have someone that's, you know, we'll talk about a male that's gay, you know, he's made fun of, he's called names, you know, sissy or all types of names that he's called in the black community at that time. Things are, of course, today have changed. Thank goodness for that. But yeah, absolutely very hard. I lived in some of those communities and that just wasn't something that you can come out and be honest with and say that. I know in my family, though, it was an open thing. You know, in my family, that was like to have a gay cousin or a gay aunt or whatever. You know, I was raised in a lot of love, so we didn't really care. You know, it wasn't a big thing. Like we, you know, be stand right behind them. Like you better not say nothing to them. Like that's my family. But you know, it is like that though in the black community. So I think it's real hard for gay men that are black. To come out at that time.
But you know what, though? I love how the Hunter X character is basically free-spirited, and he is who he is, and he says what he wants to say, and he tells it like it is, and that's something I respect about that character. And he's
able and you to love him. You love him. You watch the film, and you love him, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah, so, he's funny as hell.
So let's talk about this, okay? Let's talk about the Kevin and Joey Lauren Adams relationship. Where they met on set of Mallrats when she auditioned. Oh, she dated while filming Chasing Amy. The relationship ended in 97 during the premiere of Chasing Amy. Kevin walked out of the relationship. And
experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Here's the thing. I never knew that they dated. Because don't forget, I was probably 11 years old or something like that. I was like, okay. I don't pay attention to stuff like this. But right. I didn't even know that they dated. Joey Lauren Adams is basically your girl next door.
Right.
Kind of actress, which I love and respect her. Because I loved her Absolutely. In Big Daddy. I loved yes. her in this. But... just knowing that he ended up basically giving her an FU to her and saying, right. Give her a broom.
Right. I'm like, I didn't even know at all either until obviously I saw the documentary. I didn't know they dated. So it was like, oh my gosh. And then to find out when they broke up, you know, and how that happened, no clue whatsoever, never even heard about them dating. So that was a big surprise to me.
Same, because I was not expecting that. I was like, okay, I didn't even know that was something that happened. Right. And then, you know, then you see the whole entire deal of, okay, now she's the face of the poster of Chasing Amy. The yes. movie premiered. You know, the Sundance stuff that happened. And there's, I like how Kevin mentions this. He goes, yeah, there's a lot of positive that came out of it because of Harvey Weinstein. But, and it made right. me kind of cringe because I know Harvey Weinstein when right. he said it. But right. I do like how he went back and said, had I known what I know now about him, yeah. I would have said fuck you to him.
Of course. A lot of people would have. A lot of people would have. He's not the only one. You know, who knew at that time? You know, I believe Kevin didn't know. I also, you know, the fact that the backlash that the movie did get, you know, it wasn't received as well from, you know, the gay community or the lesbian community. They didn't like the fact that there was a character that was gay in the film that was able to be in love with the straight male, you know, and I guess maybe they felt like it was kind of compromising or what did you get from that? Because I was surprised by that.
Yeah, because if you remember, Kevin also said it was also weird for a straight male director to write a yes. movie about a straight man right. trying to fall for a lesbian. And right. then it wasn't received well between Ellen DeGeneres and her partner.
Yeah, they walked right out. Of the movie. Right.
And I was like, wow.
Yeah.
And the bad thing, you know what's funny, though, is he had more backlash for Dogma than he had for this one.
Wow.
People were protesting against Dogma. He actually trolled the people that was... he actually did this. He got a sign out, marked down. He said something about his own film. He said, fuck Dogma or something.
Yeah.
Even though he was the one who made
right,
Dogma.
Right, right,
he was
in right. there
protesting against his own movie.
Right. But, and you can see him doing that, dude.
Yeah.
Come on, that's the Clerks. You know what I mean? Like, exactly. And what I love about him is... you know, before independent films were a thing, he was doing that. You know, he was doing independent films. All of his, what, all of them?
Yeah,
you
know, all of them were indie films.
Yeah, so he didn't need, you know, he could do that, you know. And when you, with his personality and who he was, it's funny because you would expect him to do something like that, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
Because here's another thing, though, too, that I want to bring up is the fact that with Kevin... He meant a lot to him with Harvey crying and saying, man, this movie made me cry. It was an emotional thing. And that was something that Kevin really touched his heart. And then right. he realized, like, afterwards that Harvey wasn't who he thought he was. Right. And then also, too, it's also hard for Kevin to get his stuff back.
Right.
Miramax and the Harvey Weinstein company itself, because they own the rights to Dogma. As a matter of fact, he just got Dogma back so we can sell it now to... and basically put it into a 4K format.
Right.
If he wanted to, or distribute it any way he wants.
Which is a cult classic, which is an absolute cult classic, Dogma, yes.
Right. But just knowing at that moment that, yes, I finally made something that made right. somebody cry, has some type right. of emotion, that means a lot right. to a director. And right. then, while this is going on, you have the stuff behind the scenes at Sundance where Joey is actually getting hit on by guys. There's also the Harvey Weinstein thing that's happened to her.
Yeah.
He's just a slime ball. He's a douchebag.
Absolutely.
I really cannot stand Harvey Weinstein.
Right.
But is there anything that you wanted to touch on as far as the Sundance stuff or anything with...
I just want to hit on the... I mean, what did you think about the fact that... How did you feel about the fact that it wasn't accepted? That did you feel that it was... did you find it wrong for him to write something like that?
No.
Did you get where the community was coming from when they were like, how can he write that? And just the basis of the story itself, them being upset at that.
I can see why. It's like, well, this is for our community. You do not belong in our community because of the fact that you're straight male writing for gay characters and stuff like that. You do not speak for us.
Right.
We speak for ourselves. You have no right. I can see it on that line, but I can also see on Kevin's line of like, hey, look, I made this for my brother so we can have some type of relatability. I was hoping for you guys not to actually, basically not shadow ban, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
gatekeepers.
And I was hoping for you guys would open up with open arms, but instead you're closing me off.
Right.
Something that I made.
I thought it'd be, I thought it'd be welcomed. Like, that's great. He, you know, there's a film about what gay characters in it, you know, and I get the love story is not what you wanted it to be, but you did see the relationship that that character had with her girlfriend in the film, so, but maybe not being in a community, you know, we're viewing it as just a great movie and these characters that are so different and you haven't really seen that a lot. But it didn't matter because the story was so good and it was funny. So to find out, you know, by watching a documentary that it wasn't like that for everyone and from people from the community, you know, it was kind of, for me, shocking because I thought that it would be just like, he did a great job, you know, but I get that they felt like, you know, well, you know, you're pretty much saying that you could change someone that's a lesbian. Like, it's just like, it's not a big deal, like who we are, you know, kind of maybe it was taken like that, you know?
I can, like I said, I see both sides of the coin on it. Yes. Like, I can see it from both perspectives.
And,
you know, that's the way I feel about it. But let's also talk about this, though, too, with where Save is actually interviewing Joey now. Because remember, he's interviewing Kevin and them together. Kevin also feels bad for the things that happen. But he's also laughing about it, too, at the same time because because it's through his lenses, through his experience.
Right.
Now we actually get to hear what Joey has to say about it. It's like, so is this going to be another basic Chasing Amy interview or is this going to be something different? Because if it's something different, I'm all in.
Right.
And Save was like, look, I just want to meet you. She goes, no, you could have done that at a comic book convention. But there's something special that you wanted my attention on.
Right.
And there's a reason behind what you're doing. And I like how at first he's like kind of standoffish a little bit because he doesn't know what to expect. Because that's what I got out of it. I don't know if you did or not with the interview at first.
I think may have. Yeah. I definitely felt like her guards were up. Absolutely. Are you coming with some F shit? Are you, you know what I mean? Like
what do you want?
So what do you want? Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, I got that.
Right, because here's the thing. I remember watching an interview that Christian Harloff did with the actor that played Zach on Saved by the Bell, for example. And at first, it, you know, you can tell the character, because this is his first time being interviewed by Christian. And at first, his guard is up. And then once you start easing into the interview, he starts loosening up. This is also that same case with Joey, where she starts loosening up a little bit. And I definitely love the little one-on-one stuff with it.
You know? Right. I just love the fact that, you know, that the Sav was able to basically let Joey know that, you know, how much she loved the film and what the film did for her. Like, this is not a troll. This is not a, like, I, you know, even seeing Sav's story throughout the whole documentary about her personal love life, you know, on a journey because of Chasing Amy, you know, and what Kevin Smith did for her, I thought was great. So her and Joey sitting down and Joey getting to understand and see that it was coming from a place of love and just what the film did for her.
Right. Exactly. Yes. And yes. just the passion, the overall passion yes. for it. And then the respect yes. that Sev has for Kevin. Right. Whenever they go into the secret stash and, right. and I like that aspect of like, well, I'm not going to go ahead and take his hat. I want right. to, Kevin can go ahead and give me his hat if he chooses, but I'd rather right. get one that isn't in the case.
Right. And also, you know, the comic book store in a movie, the certain places that they filmed in a movie, I love how Sav brought you to the record store, and then they're showing the scene of the record store and then the comic book store. And even in the record store, how the guy's like, you know, everything's pretty much the same other than the fact that, you know, the tapes aren't there anymore, you know, but everything is still the same. So I love how she went on and showed, because a lot of those places are iconic because the film is an iconic, another cult hit. So for her to go on the journey and kind of show you, you know, this is the comic book store, this is the record store. And also, when she first goes and meets Kevin Smith for the first time and damn near in tears and going inside and just seeing the posters and everything that he still, I mean, the room that he had set up with still some of the movie posters in there, I thought that was great. But meeting Kevin Smith for the first time, I just loved their interaction and how he was so opening and so happy to have her over and to find out that what the film did for her, you know, his film. Right.
And he just fell into tears whenever he found out about that, too.
Right, right.
And
he's a crier. He's a crier.
Yes. I love how emotional Kevin gets. He's really heartwarming. He's really
sweet. Yes, he is.
Seems like a really nice guy. I actually know some friends that met him personally.
Oh, wow.
And I think they were just grocery shopping, and they just happened to see him at the grocery store.
Okay.
In Louisiana, of all places.
Really?
Yeah. And he took a selfie with them. He had took time, about 20 to 30 minutes talking with them. Really down to earth.
Man, I wish Sir Mix-a-Lot was like that when I met him for the first time.
You know how they say, don't meet your heroes, right?
Oh, man, that never again. Never again. Sorry, sir. Sorry.
Sorry, sir. But yeah.
Sorry, sir.
But I can't say this. The documentary is very inspiring.
Yes.
I really enjoyed it. I know that Rossi did. I'm not going to.
Oh yeah! Oh yeah! Absolutely, and I love the movie. Anyways, I enjoyed the movie. I was like Sav. I've seen the movie so many times because I just thought it was a really good movie, and I love Joey Lauren as a character and just not a character. I'm sorry, as an actress. So I've seen a lot of the films that she ended up being in after Chase and Amy. So and the soundtrack was great as well.
Yeah, the soundtrack is really good.
Yeah,
Well, it has that '90s vibe to it.
'90s, yes. Yes.
I really love it.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that's everything that we had wanted to cover as far as the doc goes, right? But yeah, if you guys want to, it's actually playing at the movie theaters right now. If you want to check out Chasing Amy, it actually got released last month, but you might actually have a chance to catch it sometime before it actually gets taken down from the movie theaters.
And go check out Chasing Amy. It's mm-hmm. You can find it any and everywhere. Go check it out. It was a really good movie. So I think everyone will enjoy that film.
I think so, too. So that's going to be it as far as the show goes. Is there anything that you want to say or anything like that before we close out? Or do you have anything
Yeah. So John and I will be doing The Grinch, Jim Carrey's The Grinch. And we'll be doing that, December 11th. After that, we'll be going on a little Christmas break, guys. And Rossi's Clubhouse is currently on Christmas break. I will be back at the end of December. My first guest coming back will be, Kristen Duff. Sorry, Kristen. Yep. She'll be coming back at the end of December. And then I have Jakari, a Sacramento rapper, that will be coming on in January. And a lot of people coming through, guys. So we'll be back soon. Shoot.
Yeah. So we'll be back with The Grinch on the 11th, and then that'll be it for the whole entire month of December. But I do have I'll actually have Fiction Fixation come back in January. We're going to do a Practical Magic review, doing it scene by scene. So yeah, we're definitely going to do a little bit of a deep cut of a 90s nostalgia movie. So that's going to be fun. So guys, that's going to be it. Thank you guys so much for watching, listening. and all that good stuff. Rate us on Good Pods. Rate us on Apple Podcasts, where you guys get podcasts from. Smash that like button. Smash that subscribe button. Also, to visit us over at Patreon. And if you want to go ahead and reach out to us at movieloveunite@gmail.com. And always until next time, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
See ya.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.